Stepping into a New Reality, The Real World, Part 9. Now we come to this fourth church, Thyatira, which was located in the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was a small city in Asia Minor located between Pergamos and Sardis. According to many theologians, Thyatira was named by Alexander the Great in honor of the birth of his little girl. Thyatira was not only a small city, but the church was the smallest church out of the seven churches in Asia Minor. It was the smallest church with the longest letter. It was a church that God loved, although they had their faults, just as we do. If we were perfect, we would not do some of the things we do. We would not say some of the things we say. Yet this is a church that is challenged. If we see some of the positive things they had going for them, then they too would look like one of the perfect churches. But they too had some mountains to climb. Before I speak about verse 1, I will do something a little different this morning. And it is still morning, right? Well, it's a little bit in the afternoon now. As I said, on Wednesday night, the angel of the church is not perfect, but he has been given a task to carry out. The human leader falls into the category of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet what he is or she is ordered to say is true. When we look at any of the disciples, we find that even in the striving for perfection, there were some who made some decisions that were not so good, and they went on their way. So let's look at verse 2. Amen. When he says, I know thy works, verse 19, I know thy works and charity and service and patience in thy works. And as we go on, we see that this church had some needs, but they also had some good things going for them. And as I said, this church was challenged, just like any church is challenged. And so here we are. Thyatira were told and reminded that one, the one who sees all things, says, I know your works and your love. If I may stop right here, because Jesus finds it important to commend them for their love. He finds it important to speak well of their love for him and especially for one another. This is the opposite of the church at Ephesus, because the church at Ephesus, they worked for the Lord and did great things, but they left their first love for God and for each other. The gospel is not limited. It's not limited of how much we say we love God or do things for God, but the gospel is how much we love each other. If we are going to prove that we love God, then we have to do it by loving one another. Amen. This is why Jesus said to Peter in so many words, don't keep count on how much you forgive. Just forgive in love. Amen. You see, what Jesus was telling Peter is that you're committing even a greater sin by not forgiving than the person who did the offense to you. For you not to forgive, that's a greater offense. I don't know what Jesus wrote when the woman was caught in adultery and they failed to produce the man. And maybe he was right there in the crowd. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus said, he who is perfect cast the first stone. And none of them were able to cast the first stone. I don't know what Jesus wrote. Maybe he wrote and to said, you know the law, that it is a terrible sin if you don't forgive, because God is a forgiving God. And so therefore, they needed needed to know how to forgive. So if we're going to prove that we love God, then we have to do it by loving one another. And so here, Jesus said to Peter, don't keep count of how much or how many times you forgave someone when he told them the number of times that he should forgive. You see, so Jesus praised Thyatira for this because they were a loving church that included forgiveness. They were not like the church at Ephesus who forgave people they liked and came against people they didn't like, but these people saw the need in one another. God disapproves of a church that's like that, that says, I forgive you because you're my buddy, you're my friend, but somebody that they don't like, they can't forgive, because God is no respecter of persons. And so here, what happens is that we have to be careful that the God who forgives, that we be in the position so that he may forgive us. So there it is, where this church it becomes a church that learns how to help one another without judging. They have that going for them. They have that love going for them. They understand that God is a loving God, but God disapproves of a church like that, that doesn't forgive, because then that church becomes a church that judges without praying to God and following their own word instead of God's word. Yeah. And let me move on quickly. With the past three churches, the problem came to them because many in the church refused to bow down to worship the emperor. Many refused to say that anyone was Lord, especially Caesar, with the exception of Jesus. They said Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. They were challenged to worship another human being or the remembrance of another human being, the image of another human being. And here it is. The real problem with Thyatira was not worshiping the image so much, but the challenge was the church at Thyatira was from within. It wasn't the outside as it was with the other churches. It was within the church. We can fight against outside forces, someone said, because the word of God says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But what happens when it is not the gates of hell? What happens when it is not the devil? What happens when the devil is not doing anything but standing on the side and folk are just doing stuff because they're doing stuff? Yes, the devil left the bait, but if we pick it up, we will do it. The devil will always leave bait for us to do something, but it's up to us to either leave it alone, to pick it up, or to destroy it. The church at Thyatira was not a hypocritical church, but they became weak, a weak church from within, and this weakness made them to be a lax church. They allowed for outside associations with good intentions to help people, good intentions of their own to help people and to cause people to move ahead, so they thought. But they lost their focus of the mission. What's wrong with somebody helping the church to move along and to get along? Sometimes we hurt ourselves when we don't know what the full intention is all about, because many times there is a hidden agenda. There's the only true God, our Lord and our God, his eyes that look like a flame of fire, which means he sees everything. Our God sees everything, our good and our bad. Jesus not only sees everything, but he also looks through everything. He looks through masks and coverings and hidden things and motives. No matter what, we cannot hide from God. God sees, not only sees it, but he sees through it. And so he saw through this church. Don't you know that sometimes when God would say, no, you are not to trust this person, God sees through that person. We may not be able to see through a person. We can see the person, but God can see through a person. He already knows their motives. He already knows their hidden things. That's why some things I say no to, because the thing about it is that when people came and they wanted to build housing and just housing and leave the church with virtually nothing, I thank God that God said no. There is nothing that God misses. People may have evil intentions, but God will always protect his children. God will always say, don't go down this street, go down that street. Don't do this, do that. God will always give us the opportunity to listen to him. He knows our hearts and our thoughts, yet he still had a love for this church as he does for us. Every Christian should ask this question to one another. If God can forgive me, why can't you? Why can't you forgive me if God can't forgive me? If God can forgive each and every one of us, why can't we forgive one another? If God can love us, why can't we love us? And so therefore, we ought to ask ourselves that question. We should not let our bad habits or our faults keep us from serving God, but let us go to God and he will give us strength to overcome those Jezebels. Jezebels come in all forms. And this is not the Jezebel from the Old Testament. This is a Jezebel-like, if you will, that comes in and does those things. You know how it was that Jezebel even turned the king around, but couldn't turn Elijah around, because Elijah came before Baal. And what did he say? He said, my God is stronger than your God. Oh, it says, let your God answer. But their God couldn't answer. He said, what, is your God on a journey? Is he somewhere using a bathroom? Is he somewhere that he can't get away? But my God will answer, and he will answer by fire. And what did they do? He put water on the wood. Hallelujah. He put water on the wood, and he says, now my God will answer. And God answered by fire. I want to tell you that God will show up, and when he shows up, he will show out. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The next thing is, his feet are like fine brass. Christ is identified with brass. Scholars believe that this is a symbol of judgment. His judgment will be strong and righteous. Righteous is the key. The only one who can judge us with truth is the Lord himself. We don't have any business judging each other like that. That's God's business. That's not our business. That's God's business. We don't have a right to do that, but we do have the right to help people through God's word and prayer to help them to get refocused with the true mission of God.